If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. E-listening on Wednesday, we have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the divine presence that always is, all that is. I'm called Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. This evening, our seminar topic is The Art of Simply Watching and Listening Reveals Divine Reality. The art of simply watching and listening reveals the divine reality. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and call yourself present and forward in the divine presence that you are, that presents through you as you, through your personality and your presentation into this time-space. But know that you are beyond time and space. You are the changeless, immortal, omnipresent presence of the one divine spirit. You are simply love. That is the only thing to be seen here, to be witnessed, to be escorted into this dimension. So tonight we're going to be looking at simply learning to watch and listen so that that divine reality beyond the mind and its conditioning, its habit patterns, its projections, you can transcend that part. And in the transcending it into that higher awareness, that which has presented as the mind simply dissolves. For it's simply a bundle of habit patterns and assumptions that the past has caused us to associate with as ourselves. So let's do a little process now that's so very simple. And know that it is always your responsibility to check out information that's shared with you. If it works, great. It validates itself. If it doesn't work, then work what works for you, and what doesn't, just let it go. It may be for someone else. Each week we are speaking to a worldwide audience, some people who are very awake, perhaps even self-realized, and people that probably for the first time are hearing this kind of information. They may live in a country that has no reference points for what we here in California and the United States take for granted. California is very much the vision carrier for the planet. The ideas, both positive and negative, are generated in Hollywood here and disseminated throughout the world wherever there is freedom of access to the internet. So you always have to realize that in these lower dimensions, you're always going to have the polarity working. Nothing is fully good and nothing is fully evil. Everything is a mixture. And you have to be like the swan, able to separate the silt from the clean water. You have to be able to discern what is for you and what may be for another soul somewhere else on the planet. as the Ashtar Command transmits through this instrument that's speaking, they keep in mind a particular resonance, the particular encodement in the sound and light of the voice patterning that is presenting the information, so that it targets a very wide range of people who are listening. So we try to give you very simple directives that would apply to anyone, anywhere, and be able to tuck into any belief system or religion or culture. We, to the best of our ability, try to do that. But it is up to you whether you choose to apply the techniques we share or not. So we're going to share with you one that is very simple. If you would like, ask for the light to fill, surround, and protect you. And if you wish, that you could have an assistance given to you to be able to see and hear spiritually. These are things that are very appropriate for you to ask for yourself. These things cannot violate your consciousness. They cannot be presented. They cannot come into your awareness without your permission. So you always have to give your consent before spirit will open you up or present to you a particular teaching. So if you will, take a deep breath and close your eyes very gently. And without straining, look behind your eyes and the inside of your head as if you were looking out through the center of your forehead. Don't try or force. Just quietly place your vision on the inner screen behind your forehead. That's it. I think some of you are already seeing the purple light. The purple light represents the transcendental consciousness that comes to work with you when you're ready to transcend beyond the limitations of the physical world, when you're ready to go beyond into the many mansions that Jesus spoke of. In my Father's house are many mansions. He meant dimensions and worlds within worlds and universes, all teeming with divinely seated life. Now we're going to chant the Hue, H-U, which reflects the very highest divine absolute energy that we could tap into verbally. It reflects what we would call the ultimate divine presence, that resonance. And as we chant the Hue, you're going to be looking very gently through the forehead and just watching to see what shows up or doesn't. Maybe something will show up for you, maybe not. Just be present and watch. And you're going to be listening inwardly. Again, not struggling to listen. Very passively noticing any sounds or anything that appears as you chant. Okay? Excuse me. And again, take a deep breath and refocus behind your eyebrows, the center of your head. And we're going to chant Hue 3 times, and then we're going to listen. And then we're going to pause and chant Hue 3 more times and listen. Okay, ready? Hue. And again, you, three times. You. 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 And listen and watch. Very good. And just bring your awareness back present. That's a simple spiritual exercise to begin to focus your attention on watching within and listening within. It's a practice called by the masters Nirat, which is to see inwardly, and Surat, which is to hear inwardly. And this is the teaching of the Masters of Light and Sound. The light, divine light, is the way God communicates information and knowledge to you directly. As it comes down into the physical brain and mind, it's translated into language that you can then understand and sometimes hear inwardly. This would be the voice of the silence, as they call it, where you have an inner location or locution, I believe it's called, inner locution, where you can hear in your mind's ear, so to speak, the gentle whispering of the divine beloved within you. Jesus said, "My sheep can hear my voice." So every one of us is designed to hear God. Not exactly word for word, but again, as a sense of direct impartation of understanding and knowledge. Not knowledge of the world, but knowledge of the things of God. And then the sound current is literally the living Word of God that comes in and brings direct revelation. So it's revelation of the things of God that we would not have access to any other way but directly by revelation. And that moves it into the arena of what we would call wisdom and awareness, which transcends everything into the all that is. So if you do not see or hear anything right off the bat, and most people don't, you have to learn how to stay focused in those areas so that they can become quiet. It's like, I'm sure you've all seen a quiet lake that's mirror quiet, so that the trees on the opposite side of the bank are clearly reflected in the water. Okay? Now, if you agitate that water, you're not going to be able to see the reflection of those trees on the opposite side of the bank anymore. And it's because the mind is agitated, it jiggles, that the clear reflection of the higher consciousness that we call the Buddhi, B-U-D-D-H-I, or the higher mind, the Christ mind, the intuitive mind, it can't get through to impress your consciousness consciously when the mind is agitated. That's why most meditations rightly aim at focusing the mind on a mantra or an initiatory tone, so the mind is given something to do, because its nature is to be wanting to do something, wanting to generate images and thoughts. So you give it the mantra and that carries it then It had chanted that very much like the snake charmer's flute, the vibrations of the flute caused the cobra to be entrained and to sway to that vibration. They can't actually hear it. They feel the vibration through their tongue, and they begin to sway. Like that, the lower mind is entrained and enchanted to entrain into that mantra, and it leaves you, your awareness alone, so you can transcend the mind. So I wonder if you have ever been able to just be. What in the world does that mean? Well, you know, most of us think we are seeing and hearing when we look at the stuff in the world and we listen to the sounds of the world. But according to the Course in Miracles and all of the enlightened masters, we see nothing but images the mind has projected out of its own conditioning. So we're seeing actually through the lens, or the fog bank, more appropriately, of all that we have placed into our conditioned consciousness, habit patterns, assumptions, beliefs, judgments, prejudices, everything we have been indoctrinated to believe in school, whatever, socially, culturally. So what we see is that projected outward. So we see nothing as it truly is. For example, we think we know somebody, okay? They have come, perhaps they're a family member, perhaps they come to visit. But do you really see them, or do you see the past associations and assumptions that you've made about that person based on your thoughts about them? You know, your judgments. You think you know someone, but according to the Course in Miracles, we see no one as they truly are. We see only the past. We see nothing as it truly is. We see only the past. And therefore, everything born of thought is encapsulated and entrapped in time. And therefore, we see nothing as it truly is. And that box of conditioning is what most of us find is the block to truly seeing and truly being present and experiencing the divine reality right here, right now. Very often when we are people watching, which we all like to do, we're running assumptions all the time. We're watching people. Gosh, I like those shoes. I wonder where she bought them. Ah, they're probably too expensive. Oh, I like her hair. Oh, God, she looks so sloppy, man. She could lose 50 pounds. And, you know, we run the commentary all the time. And men have their own commentary. Women tend to judge people by their appearances and if they're attractive or not, what they're wearing, where could I get those shoes, that outfit, that Gucci bag, whatever, you know. The little petty things that we assess around that person walking by, that we, you know, it's very, very, very superficial and egocentric. But we don't really see that person. Now, when you learn how to be present without the critiquing, judging, blabbering mind commentary, when you can do that, you're beginning to practice soul awareness. You're beginning to practice real seeing. You know, Jesus spoke a lot about people having ears and eyes, but they couldn't hear and they couldn't see. And so we have to have the eyes that can truly see, the ears that can truly hear, in order to experience the divine reality that is being hidden by the blabbering, chattering monkey mind, ego mind, projecting, image-making mind. That is not you. Those are conditioned patterns that very many people have associated with being their, quote, thoughts. No, thoughts are simply like a river. We tend to affinitize with those currents that are similar to our patterns, but it's a very impersonal thing. It's a universal mind stream that we all share. What is real about your mind or the higher mind is what's called the buddhi or the divine intellect. That's the creative intelligence that is literally the operative through which you, as a soul, can mold reality and co-create like your divine creator. That is your divine creative facility that you need to learn how to operate. So, can you, have you, will you just be? Just be. What does that mean? Well, let's go back a bit, give you some context here. The divine presence is inherent in everything and place, and in truth, there is only the divine presence. It's fully present here and now, right here. You're in it, and you are it. So let me ask you, are you aware of that divine presence right now? Are you immersed in it like a cookie and a glass of milk? After a while, you get all mushy, and then you just kind of dissolve into the milk, right? So if you are slam dunked like a cookie and milk, you are experiencing ananda, bliss, right here, right now. What does that mean? You have no awareness of anything but that. You're simply listening to this voice, which is another voice for your own voice, like a voice of your own divine self speaking. And there's no separate you, there's no body, there's no emotional drama, and no thinking going on. You're just here and now, and all is well. You're simply present, awake, aware, listening, and that's all that's going on, period. You're not trying to figure out what I'm saying. You're not trying to understand it. You're not trying to find issue with it. You're not trying to critique it. You are simply listening, period. And that's what they mean when they say, just be. Just be. Just be quiet and listen. Watch. Enjoy the parade. Just be quiet and just watch. Just observe without any mental commentary, positive or negative. Just watch, observe, witness. Period. Simply listen. Be present and simply listen without any reaction, only listening. That's what they mean by being. So have you ever done that? Ever? Do you have any reference point for simply being present without any mental commentary or emotional reaction at all? Or maybe you've just started practicing mindfulness or vipassana, where you're simply noticing what arises and dismissing, watching like waves rising and subsiding, simply witnessing thought appears and dismissing it. Or A Course in Miracles, perhaps you're starting to notice in doing the Course in Miracles or some of these other practices, when your mind starts running its commentary and its critiquing, its evaluating and comparing and judging and liking and disliking, are you noticing it? Are you catching yourself when your mind starts to go off and do that? That's really, really good. If you started to notice when your mind starts to run its patterns, the minute you notice the mind doing that, you are already practicing soul transcendence. You're moving beyond the mind stream. You're becoming the observer of the mind. Excellent. The minute you notice your ego arising, you are already transcending the ego. You cannot be aware of the ego from the ego. The ego is unconscious when it's running its egoic patterns. The mind is unconscious when it runs its patterns. So when you're consciously aware of the mind running its patterns, when you're consciously aware of the ego, you're already transcending above that level. You're starting to dissolve that illusion. Isn't that marvelous? So give yourself a golden star and don't critique it when your mind, you start noticing your mind. Many people shoot themselves in the foot when they see themselves running nicely in the spiritual flow by judging the very action that's proving that they're having a success there. They're in process of moving beyond the illusion, but they don't realize it. So learn to validate your experiences. When you notice and see it, you are above it. And that is a progression for you in terms of your mastering of the direction of your awareness. So you're already starting to awaken beyond the ego mind when you start noticing it. And you begin to see it as something quite apart from you, seeing it simply as associative habit patterns. Associative habit patterns. Nothing personal here. Just energy running. And you're learning to master and control and direct your energy, that's all. Your mental energy, your emotional energy, your spiritual energy. That's all you're doing. It's learning to direct your life so it's producing that which you would have produced. So you notice the mind thinking, and you simply remind yourself these thoughts don't mean anything. You dismiss them and continue right on watching and listening within. And that's practicing soul awareness. It's retraining that awareness to hold steady within as the watcher, the witness, the sakshi, the witnessing awareness in the balcony of higher awareness, watching the show. And you're retraining yourself to transcend the lower mind or ego mind. And that's what it means to be vigilant, to be vigilant of the things of God, and not to be caught up in those old mental habits and conditionings. You're retraining your mind to simply watch and listen. And that pure watching and listening will draw you into absorption in being, where you're immersed in the divine beyond thought. Oh, is that a peaceful place to be? Now, everything you experience in the so-called outer world is not objective to you. It is purely subjective from conditioned expectations that have been held in the mind, old patterns, which replicate similar patterns of experience in the so-called objective world. Really, there is no objective world, according to Sai Baba. And it was interesting. I was listening to a seminar from my teacher, John Roger, today. And he said that when you move into soul awareness, the outer world disappears. That's how you can tell you're in that higher awareness. Very often I find that he uses the term soul for what most of us would call Atma. You know, those of us that are more familiar with the Eastern teachings would call what he calls Atma. In the Course in Miracles, it seems like they refer to the soul more as the mind. And that would be more in line with how Christianity interprets soul, being the will, the emotions, and the conscious mind. So just insert the word that works for you in there. If you want to call it spirit or Atma, so be it. That makes it a little clearer, as we're dealing with words that really can't describe what it is. I have told you on previous occasions that I started having episodes of where the world would dissolve completely when I'd raise my vibrations into a very high state of loving. And I was simply watching and listening and loving each case, and I'd be in a restaurant. Just really seeing the divinity and the people around me and just enjoying watching and being present. And as I would go into that state, I'd go, obviously now, I've realized, into a state of samadhi where the world simply vanished into pure white light. And it was very interesting. There was no up, no down, no in, no out. There was just pure white light, bliss, and love. And that was it. So I had a direct experience of what he was talking about in that seminar. Now, you can have that experience for yourself. It's very simple. Take a picture, a nice picture of the one that you look to as God. It could be Sai Baba, it could be Jesus, it could be Mother Mary, it could be Ramakrishna, it could be any one of the great enlightened master saints. And look at that picture with a soft gaze, not staring, but looking with a soft gaze, without forcing, but looking with full focus, 100%. And you will see the picture gradually dissolve into pure white light. Or you can do that process with another person. We used to do it all the time in our workshops, and people would actually see that person in front of them dematerialize and become, just pure white light. When that happened to the person that was observing, the person opposite them would be having the same experience, and they would both merge into the divine. So when you hold that consciousness focused and steady, you can bypass the outer form, the illusion of the outer form, and see the reality, which is the pure light of God. Now, the key to understanding, to all-encompassing divine awareness, is found in watching and listening. So every day we are watching and listening, but with what? Do we have the eyes to see and the ears to hear beyond the outer sight, the outer, phenomenal sights? and sounds. And spiritually speaking, everything is revealed to us through watching and listening. So spiritual exercises, SEs as we call them, are simply one of the ways that we take time each day to train the consciousness to hold steady with simply watching inwardly and simply listening inwardly. And this is how we train the consciousness to be still and know I am God. So you watch for the inner light to appear. Now, the inner light is the first appearance of the presence of the inner master, or you could say your own soul, your own divine self, if you want. But if you don't create a form for that, it will simply continue to appear as the light. If you do the visualization of the inner master, Sai Baba says sometimes you can use, for example, if you want to meditate on the form of Jesus or Sai Baba, you would try to, in your mind's eye, draw their picture inside your mind's eye, visualizing the face, the hair, the hands, the garment, the feet, you know. And if you're good at that and like to do that, at some point you'll find that the master will then move into that form, and you will have the vision of what is called the radiant form of the inner master. In the arcane school, we used to do an exercise where we didn't personalize that divine image, but we mocked up in our mind a divine image, which was, of course, would be symbolic of our own self. And like that, we trained the mind to visualize so that the formless spirit could then move into that form and give you an experience of the form of the master within you. So whether you do that or not is up to your temperament and what you like to do and work with. You can just work with the light, or you can give it a form. And the same thing with any kind of visualization that you may do, you're just training yourself to see and to visualize inwardly. It's not terribly important that you do that. And yet, if you want something to be there spiritually, you're going to have to visualize it there. Because we're working in the realms of divine light and sound, which are pure and unconditioned. So if you want content that you can interact with, you have to place it there. You have to mock it up, so to speak, so that you can spirit can then inhabit it and play back to you the experience that you'd like to create for yourself on the inner. And you learn to listen to the inner sound current. The teachings of the masters give you specific sounds that each realm resembles when you're listening. For example, the sound for the physical realm resembles thunder in the distance. The sound for the astral realm sounds very much like church bells or gongs or any kind of bells. It could be jingle bells. It could be sometimes I'll wake up and I'll hear bong, 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 like that. The sound for the causal realm sounds like tinkling glass wind chimes, just like that. The sound for the mental realm sounds like water running in a sink, that flat sound when you turn on the faucet, or any number of watery sounds. The sound of the etheric realm sounds like bees, like real strong vibrating buzzing. The sound of the soul realm resembles a flute. I say resembles because actually it doesn't so much sound exactly like those things, except for the causal and the astral realms, where indeed they sound like wind chimes, glass wind chimes and bells. But the higher you go up into the God realms beyond soul, you'll begin to hear the violins, the wood ring, the woodwind instruments, all the different instruments. Now, you may or may not hear like that. You may have your own inner sound. So I hear something very much like the ticking of a clock or the sound of a clickety-clickety-clickety-click you'd hear in a train. I hear five, sometimes six different sounds in my head if I listen very, very, very carefully. And so pay attention and listen to how the sound current appears to you. What appears to you? And work with it. And if nothing appears, that's fine too. Because the saying of the masters also is, as long as you can see it and hear it, keep going. That's not it. So you always want to keep going, keep going, keep going, and not get hung up on phenomena. Sometimes people need phenomena, like you need a carrot before the donkey, so to speak. But you learn to accept how you are wired, how God has designed you to receive direct communication and communion with God within you. So the divine spirit and sound is what awakens us to who and what we are as part of God. It awakens and reveals your immortal divine identity. And the divine creator communicates to you inwardly through the divine light, which manifests as true understanding, as direct spiritual knowledge, and as that inner knowing. And thus the divine sound current, the living word of God, manifests as revelation and pure awareness. So you may not see or hear anything, but suddenly you have just this tremendous clarity. I think probably the most predominant characteristic of soul awareness is a pristine clarity. You just simply know that you know. You know, whenever there's the questions and the doubts and the hesitations and the fears and all the drama people put themselves through, you're caught up in the ego mind. The ego mind will never stop asking questions. It just goes on and on and on and on. But when you give the answer, it doesn't understand it because it can't understand the things of spirit. The mind cannot lead you beyond the mind. It can only lead you back into the image-making, projecting, falsification, an illusion that the mind generates to keep you from going beyond. Remember, everything wants to exist, right? So the ego wants to exist too. And it can only exist if you stay ignorant and don't wake up. But fortunately, the mind dissolves back into the divine booty. So nothing's lost, it's just energy. The energy of illusion dissolves back into the truth of reality. So nothing's lost, nothing's forsaken, nothing's abandoned. Everything is subsumed into the next higher level as you transcend it. So the things that we see outwardly are images the mind has made. And the ego mind is the image projector. It cannot reveal the truth to you because it can only imitate, project, images and distract and delay. So your thoughts are images your mind has made to veil the truth that you are immortal love. It is a defense against the truth of who and what you are forever. So the mind is just a bundle of associations and assumptions and nothing more. And it is easily dissolved by self-scrutiny. In fact, the ego mind absolutely cannot withstand direct questioning, inquiry, and scrutiny. The minute you begin to question your thoughts, it begins to dissolve. It has no defense. You have just lambasted it with light. It has to dissolve. So we just notice and dismiss. That's it. But you know, very few people ever question the reality of the world or the evidence of their physical eyes and what they hear with their physical ears. So again, to know the truth, we have to have the eyes that can see and the ears that can hear to comprehend the things of spirit. So it gives you something really to contemplate, doesn't it? So as you go through your day, practice just watching, completely without any commentary at all. You know, the mind is so prejudiced. It's got an opinion and an attitude and an attachment or an aversion to everything. Just notice it. Again, as you notice, you will begin to dissolve it. You will begin to transcend it. You will begin to deliver it home to the higher consciousness where it also finds release. As I've often said, everything in existence yearns to go home to God. Go home to God. So what would it be like to look at the world through the eyes of the Master? Well, I'll tell you one thing. The Master never looks with the eyes of condemnation. The minute you hear a condemning, critiquing voice in your head, you've got to know that that is an old conditioned pattern. That is somebody's criticizing voice you heard in this lifetime or a previous lifetime that got embedded in your consciousness that's running an old pattern. Your high self, your divine self, your Buddhi will never tell you anything that will disempower, depress, defeat, chastise, or condemn you ever. Nor will any true, genuine master. The master may point out areas that you could strengthen. He may point out areas that you need to work on. But to criticize and put you down and lay you flat under a blanket of judgment, never, never. Because a really enlightened master will see you as already enlightened. You're just struggling with a blanket of dark conditioning that needs to be lifted off. That's all. Every master that is a master will see that you are divine and will remind you that you are divine and will hold the vision steady that you are divine. So the master, when he or she looks at you, sees only the divinity. Now, if they're teaching masters, they will have to help you to dissolve those things that have been a block to your loving, that have blocked you and confined you. But they will not do it in a way that disempowers you. You know, our children grow and thrive and blossom when you point out the things that they're doing right. But if you start condemning and judging and browbeating and shaming the those children, not only will you cut down the communication and stop it altogether, if there was any, but they will rebel and revolt and hate you, and there will be no relationship with that child. And they won't have a relationship with themselves because they depend upon you in their formative years to get a sense of who and what they are. And unfortunately, we have very few conscious parents. So the best thing to do is to at least be honest in your own expression, to own up when you're not clearly aligned with spirit, when you're speaking out of the lower mind, when you're in a state of emotional upset, and enact before them how you can clear yourself, how you can call in the light and ask for a clearing through spirit, and ask to be centered and filled with your own spirit, with the light of the Holy Spirit, however you want to language that. You can train yourself every time you go into the bathroom where you're quiet to take a deep breath and clear your aura, violet flame it. Ask for the clearing. We pick up energies from people all the time. We have to know how to clear and how to also ask, is this my energy or have I empathed and picked up someone's energy? Because we are clearing all the time right now for the collective consciousness. And when you're feeling depressed and down and drained and besought, 9 times out of 10, that's because of that earthquake that just hit where thousands of people are suffering or have passed over or are trapped under rubble, or that town that just had the latest terrorist attack and the aura of that town is just reeking with fear and upset and sorrow. Why do you think you're a light bearer? Why do you think you're listening to these seminars? Why do you think that you're the apple of God's eye, the brightest and the best that were sent to Earth for this time and place? This great, great apocalypse where all that has been covered and veiled is being revealed. All the falsehood and the petty larceny and the greed and the lust and the corruption has to be revealed, because we're moving into the age of truth, the Satya Yuga. And only truth is going to be able to pass into the golden age of truth. We're in it. It's happening. So don't get entrained in the sorrow, in the release patterns, in the fear, in all of that. Stay the watcher, the witness, and simply be present. Present the presence wherever you are. Present the divine presence, which will source through you if you can keep out of judging, out of projecting, and just watch and listen. To do that, you have to be fully present. You can't totally listen if you're only waiting for an opportunity for that person to shut up so you can tell them what you know. I know some people who never ever hear what you have to say. They're just waiting for you to be quiet so they can give their point of view or tell you they already know that, already been there, done that. There is nothing you can teach somebody who thinks they know. All of the wisdom teachings say that the beginning of knowledge is the recognition that you know nothing. The first part of the Course of Miracles is all about, that you don't know anything. You don't understand what anything is for. And you really don't know what you need or what would be best for you. Aren't you grateful there is a Holy Spirit that lives within you as the inner master that does know? Aren't you grateful for that? Wow. So the beginning of wisdom is to recognize you don't know anything. And you turn to the Holy Spirit within you as the divine teacher and counselor that does know. Father, I don't know what to do or say. Well, let's go back over the Course in Miracles prayer, huh? If you know it, it goes like this. I am here only to be truly helpful. I am here to do the will of He who sent me. I do not have to know what to say or what to do, because He who sent me will direct me. I am content to be wherever He wishes, knowing He goes there with me. And I am healed as I allow Him to teach me to heal. We have to allow the Holy Spirit into our life. Allow the Holy Spirit into the places where we hurt, where we're confused, where we're completely befuddled by the whole thing and don't know which way to turn. Don't worry about it. The one who lives within you will turn you in the right direction if you keep turning to it. Throughout the day, I don't think a moment goes on throughout the day that we can't be in constant communion with God. You know, eventually you learn not to just pray in the morning and the evening. You learn to have a constant communication with God throughout the day. You think in your mind, okay, here's that person. I can't remember their name. What's their name, Holy Spirit? And the name drops into your mind. I haven't a clue how to answer this question, Holy Spirit. And bam, suddenly the Holy Spirit reveals this information to you. I don't know what's the right thing to do here. Would you please guide me, direct me? And voila, all of a sudden you just find yourself making the right decision. And it always comes with that sense of peace. It's like, oh, that feels so clear. Why did I worry about it? So we learn to have that constant communication with God. And it's really with our own inner self. It's not an externalized God I'm talking about. I'm talking about God indwelling inside your mind, inside your heart, inside your gut, inside all of your consciousness, inside every one of your chakras, inside wherever you are. And at the same time surrounding you, above, below, to the right, to the left, within and without. You live, move, and have your being in the Divine Presence, as the Divine Presence. So I hope that you can practice cultivating this ability to see beyond the outer forms, the outer image making of the mind. And ask, always ask, always seek, always knock. And you will always be led by God. And you will be in that place that we call being. Just be. Watch the show. And listen, because you're guided every single second. But you'll block it if you try to make it up yourself. If you try to make your own way out of your own cleverness, your own mind, your own conditioning, you'll be unhappy. because the ego is always feeling threatened. It's always feeling vulnerable. It's always feeling it has to defend itself from somebody. But you know what? The only enemy is yourself. There is no outer battle. You're battling with the phantoms of your own image-making, projecting mind. Make peace with that mind by filling it with the sound of God, the chanting of the holy names of God. Give that to the mind and let it dwell in that holy resonant field. And you step free through grace. So I hope this has been helpful. You know, we can hear these things, but if we don't put them into practice, at least one little thing, we're never going to know for ourselves. We're just going to say, oh, that was interesting. But what could be more simple than learning to just watch and listen? What could be simpler than that? Nothing. And that's something we do every single day, all the time. So nobody can say, oh, I don't have time to meditate. I don't have time to do this. Beloved, you don't have time for anything else. Nothing is more important than being who you are and what you are forever. So let's go out. let's place our hands forward and through the palm chakras of your upraised palms, send the love from your heart right up through your hands and out through your palm chakras and slam dunk the whole planet into the living love of God, into the living word, the living sound current, the melody, the cosmic rapture of God. May all the beings in all the worlds and universes be happy. May all be at peace. May every good thing be with them and surround them and comfort them wherever they need that. And may all awaken to the immortal love and life that they truly are embodiments of. God bless each one of you. We love you. And may the peace of God be in and through each one of you. Namaste.